Thank y'all so much. Have I missed any other announcements? All right. Well, if not, we'll continue with the service and go into the message.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I've entitled this message, Take Care of Your Heart. And I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. In fact, can we say this verse all together?
Yes.
Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to come into your house with one heart and one mind in the common bond of the Holy Spirit to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take these next few minutes to speak your life-giving words into our hearts and minds, yes, that we might become less like the world and more like you.
Yes,
show us how to renew our minds,
yes,
guard our hearts, and keep our lamps full of the oil of your Holy Spirit.
Yes,
use me as your vessel to speak into the lives of your people, and it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In my message a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how God is the God of the new. His specialty is in making all things new. So we begin our new life in Christ with a clean slate. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All of our sins have been forgiven. The chains have fallen off and we've been redeemed.
Yes.
He has placed a new spirit within us.
Hallelujah.
He replaced our old stony hearts with new hearts of flesh. And when we see him at the end, he will give us a new body that will never again experience pain and sickness.
Amen.
In the meantime, we remain in the world, but we are no longer of it. And one major part of our new life in Christ, and this is Christianity 101, one major part of our new life in Christ is learning how to separate ourselves from the world while at the same time living in it.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
God gives us this commandment in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, where he says this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." In this verse, the word love is the Greek word agape. It's a total, spiritual, unconditional love. It's a love freely and wholeheartedly given. It's the type of love that God has for us. It's the type of love that we're supposed to have for him. And it's the type of love that we're supposed to have for each other. But it's not the type of love that we're supposed to have for the things of this world.
Amen.
We can't give our heart to God and give our heart to the world at the same time.
Amen.
That would be spiritual adultery.
Right.
Instead of being conformed to the world, Jesus wants us to be transformed into his image.
Yes.
And the way he does this is by renewing our minds. I'd like for us now to look at the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2, where it says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Even though we walk through a fallen world, those of us who follow Jesus go through this daily process of having our hearts and minds renewed by His Spirit and washed by His Word, so that day by day we become more like Him.
Amen.
I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of words in this scripture. The first word is the word conformed. Conformed. In this verse, the word conformed literally means to use something or someone as a model for your own life and behavior. If you think back to your childhood days, and some of us have to think back a little further than others, I imagine that many of you had role models. Perhaps an older sibling, a parent, an adult friend, a teacher, a sports figure, an astronaut, TV characters like the Lone Ranger or comic book characters like Superman. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us guys, when we were children, pinned a bath towel around our neck and jumped off the couch in our underwear and pretended to fly like Superman?
I did that.
These people were role models, people who had character qualities that you really respected and admired, people that you wanted to imitate and model your own life after. You would look at that person and say, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like them. You wanted to pattern your thoughts, your character, and your actions after theirs. So when God says, do not be conformed to this world, He's basically telling us, don't look to the world as your role model, and certainly don't look to the prince of this world, the devil, as your role model. Don't mold your thoughts and attitudes and actions to fit the pattern of this world. There's nothing in this world that's to be admired or envied or imitated.
Right.
Amen. The Apostle John reminds us of this truth when he says, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
Hallelujah.
The temptations of this world may look attractive and appealing, but it's a deception and a sham that leads to destruction. The teachings and philosophies of this world may sound good, but it's Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. It's having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The second word in our scripture that I would like to draw your attention to is be transformed. Be transformed. In the original Greek, the word for be transformed is metamorpho, which literally means to be changed from one form into a completely different form. It's the same Greek word from which we get our English word metamorphosis. A caterpillar in a cocoon undergoes the process of metamorphosis, the change from one form to a completely different form. In this case, a change from a lowly worm to a beautiful butterfly. Brothers and sisters, when God says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, He's saying that you and I are undergoing our own special process of metamorphosis.
Hallelujah.
That process of sanctification that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and day by day we're being changed into a completely different form, just like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And what we shall be will look nothing like what we were. The Apostle John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3, where he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Praise God. Thank you.
And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
When I was a boy, My family and I lived on a small ranch in Central Texas, about 90 acres in size, up around Waco. And there were always lots of animals around, animals of our own and also strays that would show up from time to time.
Yes.
Well, one day a stray dog showed up and started hanging around the house. And of course, out of compassion, we began to take care of it. It was a long-haired dog, a collie as I recall. And when it first showed up, it was a mess. It was dirty, and its hair was all matted with dirt and clumps of black mud. Under its belly and between its legs were all sorts of burrs. There were small burrs like beggar's lice and sticker burrs and goat heads and speargrass. And there were also clumps of large burrs like thistles and cockle burrs. And any of you who have ever were raised or grown up or been around that part of the state of Texas, you know what I'm talking about. And it took a lot of elbow grease and water and scissors and a curry comb to cut out all of that matted hair and to brush out all of those mud clods and burrs. But we got the job done. And underneath all that matted hair and dirt and mud and burrs, there was a beautiful dog. She looked like a completely different animal, a brand new creation. She had undergone a metamorphosis. So we cleaned up this dog. We named her Princess, and she adopted us. But like most country dogs, she didn't stay in the house. She stayed outside, so naturally, as she lived outside and roamed around out in the big wide world, over time she would once again begin to accumulate dirt and mud. And once again, burrs and thistles would start to attach themselves to her so that we would have to periodically look her over and cut out and brush out whatever had recently attached itself to her.
Yep.
If we hadn't done that, if we hadn't bothered to look her over occasionally and clean her up and brush her out, she would have eventually returned to the same sorry state that she was in when we first found her. Brothers and sisters, when we first came to the Lord, we were like Princess. In God's eyes, we were muddy and dirty, and our sins and transgressions clung to us like burrs and thistles. Mm-hmm. But praise God, He has cleaned us up, and even though our sins were like scarlet, He made them white as snow, and even though they were red like crimson, He has made them white as wool.
Thank you, Lord.
The psalmist David summed this up beautifully in Psalm 51, verse 5, where he says this: "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Now let's skip to verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me."
Yes, amen.
We are no longer of the world, but we are still in it. And as we go through this world, just like my dog Princess, there may be times when we find ourselves unintentionally picking up spiritual burrs and thistles, the worldly influences that we're exposed to every day. These worldly influences, which the scripture refers to as works of the flesh, they reach out like burrs and try to attach themselves to us. Even the most genuine, sincere believer can find himself or herself over time starting to become affected by the influence of the world. And we find our thoughts and attitudes and behavior starting to slide down into the pattern of the world and conform to it. We find ourselves starting to think and speak and act in ways that are not pleasing to God. We say and do things that harm us, things that harm the people around us,
yes,
things that grieve the Holy Spirit, and things that damage our witness for the Lord. Some of these worldly influences are very serious, like the clumps of cockle burrs and thistles in my dog's fur. These burrs are large and sharp and cause extreme pain. They are burrs of anger, rage, violence, lust, pornography, sexual immorality, alcohol and drug abuse, jealousy, pride, and greed. These are qualities that the world glorifies, but that they have no place in the heart of the believer. And when these burrs become attached to the heart of a believer, they will eventually manifest themselves in his words and deeds and cause him to do things that can cost him his job, his marriage, his family, and sometimes even his life. These ungodly words and deeds bring reproach to the Lord and give unbelievers the excuse they're looking for to mock and ridicule the name of Christ. And if you don't believe me, turn on the TV or read the newspapers, and you will see report after report of Christian men and women who have fallen into the snare of the enemy and as a result have ruined their lives, ruined their ministries, and brought shame on the name of Jesus. Now, other worldly influences may be more subtle. They may seem small, like the little beggar's lice or sticker burrs in my dog's fur. But even though these burrs are small, they're still sharp and they still cause pain.
Yes.
Maybe we've picked up a burr of irritability that causes us to be quick-tempered and argumentative with people, irritable and testy and edgy and impatient and unloving toward others. And people feel like they have to walk on eggshells around us. Maybe we've picked up a burr of worry and anxiety that causes us to be tense and nervous and fearful. And we find it hard to trust God the way we once did. Maybe we've picked up a burr of fault finding or gossip. And we find ourselves talking about people and saying unkind things about them behind their backs instead of that which is edifying. And of course, the list just goes on and on. Now, I'm not one to look for the devil behind every bush, but we do have an adversary in this world who roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Yep.
And so even though we're a new creation and all things have become new and all of our sins have been forgiven, we still have to guard our hearts every day against the schemes of the devil. Scripture says that sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is to have you, but you must master it. For this reason, God gives us warnings in Scripture about the importance of guarding our hearts. In our opening scriptures, Proverbs 4:23, I'd like to look at that again. In our opening scripture, God says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Another translation says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it."
Amen.
The heart is like the source of a spring. If the water at the source is pure, then the water that flows from it will also be pure. But if the water at the source is contaminated, then the water that flows from it will be contaminated as well. In the same way, if our hearts are pure, then the things we say and do will be pure. But if our hearts are contaminated by sin, then everything we say and do will also be contaminated by sin. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus puts it this way: "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Whatever has attached itself to our heart cannot remain hidden forever. It will inevitably manifest itself in the things that we say, and not only in the things that we say, but also in the things that we do. Whatever we try to keep secret will eventually come to light. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And our heart is like the altar in the center of that temple. God equips us with the shield of faith so that we can defend our hearts against the fiery darts of the wicked one. But sometimes our faith isn't as strong as it should be. And sometimes those fiery darts get past that shield and stick in our hearts just like the burrs and thistles that would stick in my dog's fur. So as we go through this world, God encourages us to continually pay attention to the condition of the altar of our heart. He encourages us to examine ourselves and test ourselves every day to see where we are in the faith. As we look at ourselves in the mirror each morning, our prayer should be the same as the prayer of King David in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, where he says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."
Yes, Lord.
That should be our prayer, brothers and sisters, every morning of every day.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, are we guarding our hearts? Are we placing a guard over our hearts and minds and eyes and ears and keeping out those ungodly influences that want to attach themselves to us? Or do we just let anything and everything in? Are we submitting to God or are we resisting Him? Are we moving toward God and being transformed into His image? Or are we moving away from Him and conforming to the world? When you go to examine yourself in your faith, God may occasionally reveal to you something in your life that needs to be addressed. It may be worldly thinking, what Brother Jerry calls stinking thinking. It may be a bad attitude, a bad habit, a bad behavior that grieves the Holy Spirit, something that hurts you and hurts those around you. And brothers and sisters, let me just add, sin is never content to just hurt the sinner.
Okay?
Sin always wants to spread.
Yeah.
Sin is like a disease. It will never limit itself to just the sinner. And so we have to keep in mind that when we allow ourselves to entertain sin and indulge in sin or toy with sin, that we're not just harming ourselves, we're also harming those around us. We're harming our spouses, our family, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sin always wants to spread, and it's never content just to hurt the sinner. Praise God. He is not a God of condemnation. He is a God of forgiveness and deliverance and restoration. And He gives us this great and precious promise in 1 John 1:9, where He says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His word assures us that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is His faithfulness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We even sing a song about that, don't we?
Yes.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is Thy faithfulness.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
God won't forgive you once. God won't forgive you twice. He will forgive you 70 times 7 if that's what it takes. And not only does He promise to forgive us, He also promises to cleanse us and to purge our hearts from anything that has tried to attach itself to us.
Thank you,
Jesus. Another way to take care of our hearts is to stay full of the Holy Spirit and to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit burning brightly in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18 puts it this way. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And by the way, go back a verse, please, Vivian. That word circumspectly means looking around carefully. Brothers and sisters, as we walk through this world, God wants us to look around carefully. Be aware of our spiritual surroundings. Amen. Be aware of the spiritual and worldly influences that are around us. Circumspectly, look around carefully. Verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. In chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples a story that we now call the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. I think it's important to note that for this particular parable, he wasn't speaking to the multitudes as he so often did. He was speaking privately to his closest disciples. This was a word from the Lord for his disciples and for their hearing only. Who are his disciples? We are. You and I. So this is a word from the Lord specifically for you and me. Beginning in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" When we first came to the Lord and were baptized in the Holy Spirit, God filled the lamp of our heart with the oil of His Spirit. That oil burns in our hearts and makes a flame that energizes us and gives us boldness. That flame lights our path with wisdom and understanding so that we stay on the paths of righteousness, so that our feet don't stumble, and so that we don't lose our way. That flame is a light on a hill that shows people the way to Jesus. But the oil that God gave us when we first came to Him was never intended to be a lifetime supply. It has to be replenished from time to time. As we walk through this world, it takes energy and effort to resist the world, to keep back the darkness, and to stay on the right path. Yes. Life in this world can be spiritually draining. And over time, the oil in our lamps may get low. Yeah. And as the light dims, it becomes harder to see, and we may stray off the path. Mm. Our strength may be replaced with weariness. Our boldness and confidence may be replaced with doubt and confusion. The zeal that once burned so hotly in our hearts may be replaced by complacency and apathy. Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the world is a dark place. And you don't want to leave home without having your lamp full of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, to get you through this world. As Brother Jerry would say, he wouldn't cross the road without the Holy Spirit. Yes, sin is crouching at the door of your heart, looking for a foothold and an opportunity to pounce. But praise God, there's someone else at the door too. And he's not crouching at the door like some cowardly thief waiting to pounce. He's the Son of God, and he's standing at the door like a gentleman. And he's knocking and waiting for an invitation to be the Lord of your heart.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." When Jesus comes knocking at the door of our heart, how will he find us? Will he find us asleep, naked, groping around in the dark with no oil in our lamps, spiritually blind, spiritually asleep, embarrassed, unable to get to the door in time, and he's gone? Or will we be ready for him, awake and alert, eagerly awaiting our beloved with our lamps full of oil and the flame of the Holy Spirit burning bright in our lives, ready to welcome him? Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. There is a battle raging in the spiritual realms for control of your heart and mind. You can't serve two masters. Either you will be conformed to this world, or you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind into the image of your Savior.
Yes.
The prince of this world has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has given you everything you need to have life and to have it more abundantly.
Glory,
he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Glory,
he has given you his exceedingly great and precious promises that through them you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
He has given you the armor of God with which you can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. He has given you the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, your helper, your advocate, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And he has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He has anointed your head with oil, and your cup runs over.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You have everything you need, but you have to use it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Claim God's precious promises and blessings. They are your birthright as children of God. Don't leave your armor in the closet gathering dust. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm in the day of battle, and keep your lamp filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit to light your way and guide your path.
Amen.
Amen.
If you would, please stand with me. And Sister Karen, if you would please come forward. Maybe the oil in your lamp is running a little low, and you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. God has good news for you. You can get your lamp refilled today, and you can leave here with the flame of the Holy Spirit burning bright in your heart. And the good news is, all you have to do is ask. Jesus said that even evil people know how to give good gifts to their children, so how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Yes, 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 yes.
When Jesus gave his life on the cross for you, the veil in the temple that separated man from God was split in two from top to bottom, and he gave each one of us the right to enter into the Holy of Holies and to approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. And he promises that if we ask anything of him, it shall be done for us.
Yeah.
If the oil in your lamp is running low, or your lamp has run dry, and you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, then I invite you to lift your hands to heaven right where you are. Don't be embarrassed. You won't be alone. There are many of us here, including myself, that need more of Him and more of His Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands high and reach out to Him. And those of you who are already full of the Holy Spirit, doing well today, praise God, that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But raise your hands too and praise God for what He has done for you. And if you would, I'd like for everyone to please repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I need more of you today.
Holy Spirit, I need more of you today.
The only Spirit I want in my heart is your Holy Spirit.
The only Spirit I want in my heart is your Holy Spirit.
Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Give me oil for my lamp.
Give me oil for my lamp.
Fill me with your power and love.
Fill me with your power and love.
Let your flame burn bright within me.
Let your flame burn bright within me.
To cleanse my heart.
To renew my mind.
To restore my joy.
To restore my joy.
To guide my steps.
To guide my steps.
And to be a light to the world.
And to be a light to the world.
Be my helper.
Be my helper.
My comforter.
My comforter.
My counselor.
My counselor.
My advocate.
My advocate.
The friend who sticks closer than a brother.
The friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Help me to say no to the world and yes to Jesus.
Help me to say no to the world and yes to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give Lord. Before we close in prayer and dismiss, I'd like for Sister Karen to lead us in a song. If you would please, Karen.
Spirit of the living God. Fresh on us.
Yes.
Spirit of the living God.
Thank you so much for this precious time that we've had with you. Thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. This time of refreshing, energizing, empowerment, and blessing. As we go forth from this place, may you rule and reign in our hearts to guide us in the paths of righteousness. And to keep us safe from the snares of the enemy that are in this world. We look forward with joy and expectation to the testimonies and good reports of what you're going to do in the lives of your people. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, and it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Have a great week, and praise the Lord, and you're dismissed.
Thank you for the cookies.